So Anita and I have been married almost 23 years, February 25th, 23 years. Yeah. So yeah, you know, clap for her. She put up with a lot. Now, hard, long suffering. Anyways, but one of the things that happens when you get married or even if you're dating is you start to meet another family and you realize that each family, they've got their own quirks, they've got their own traditions, they've got their own things that they do. So whether that's food that you always eat at Thanksgiving or Christmas time or things you always say, you would eat Eric would eat the table if you poured gravy on it. I mean, just like that's one of our little things, or at least that's a Schweitzer family tradition that I had to learn. You know, part of the Thanksgiving liturgy is, you know, related to what various family members will do when you put gravy on food items. Anyways, but every family, they've got their little quirks, they've got their little things, they've got their little distinctives, and it's part of what makes them family. And so as we're starting off the new year and so excited for what God is doing in 2018 in and through us, I wanted us to take just a couple of weeks to focus in on what it means to be part of this particular church family, the local congregation known as Columbia Grove, and our little quirks and our little oddities and our distinctives and things like that, so that you know what you're a part of. So whether you've been a part of the congregation for some time, and I'm hoping that these next couple weeks will be moments that you go, yeah, that's why I'm here. Yeah, that's what we're about. Yeah, let's go do it. Or maybe if you're just like many, kind of new to the congregation. I mean, we've grown tremendously in the last year, like about 35% growth in 1 year, which is amazing and wonderful and super, super good. That you're just getting to know some of what's going on in, you know, what Columbia Grove is all about, and maybe to provide some clarity to figure out, is this the place I really want to plug in? Is this really where God is calling me? That kind of stuff. So, in order to know a family's, distinctives in the family's culture, you need to know a little bit about its history. So I want to start there because the way the Columbia Grove got started, well, I'm kind of excited for it. So it was about 15 years ago, at least this is my own little piece of it. 15 years ago, the church got started with a conversation with this guy right here. This is Fred Nelson. He's the pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. My family, we were living in Chicago. I was finishing my Master of Divinity degree, getting ready not only to graduate, but looking at the call process there. And for a couple years, I'd been serving at this Lutheran church that was doing a church renewal. They were starting a contemporary service. They were reaching out in new ways. Started with a bunch of, predominantly seniors, and after a couple of years, it was becoming this very intergenerational, all-ages kind of church that was really doing some vital things. And as I was finishing up school, heading into the call process, I had in my mind that I was going to be doing something with music, because I really like music. You might have figured that out. But Fred said something that got my attention, and the Spirit started to use it in a really bizarre way. So one day we were just talking and he said to me, Andrew, I think you really need to look at church planting. Now, you know how you have well-intentioned friends and they say different things. And, you know, sometimes it's just a nice comment of a well-intentioned friend. Well, thanks, Fred. That's really nice. But the Holy Spirit got a hold of that in a funny way. Like, so over the next weeks and a couple of months, I was finding myself having these really vivid dreams about what would it be to actually start a church from scratch. And believe you're not, and this is so weird, we were living in Illinois, and there was a strong, strong sense of call for the Wenatchee Valley, which is weird because all we'd ever done is drive through here. Isn't that strange? Okay, so Anita started to have similar kinds of things, these little encounters where this theme of church planting was just getting on her heart, on our hearts. So we realized we need to look into this a little bit more. One little side note. So out of the same church that ultimately helped me and us get launched, now they're launching. So this morning, Peter Schwick, do you remember him from a couple summers ago? They're having a preview service for a new church that's launching out of there. Because, anyways. So we're excited for Pete. Pete, if you're listening, we're rooting for you. Okay. Now, where was I? Okay, so we get this strong sense of call and visions and dreams and start to look into some of this kind of stuff. Went through our denominations. We're part of the Evangelical Covenant Church, part of their assessment process. Like, are you gifted for this? Are you equipped and wired for this? We go through some of that, even though, at that point it was fairly unlikely that we should even be accepted at all, but we get all the way through the process. They think they come to the conclusion, yeah, we think you're ready for this. If you could start a church anywhere in the world, like the one that you've been talking about, the one that you've been dreaming about, where would you start it? We said immediately, Wenatchee, Washington. So I said, well, let's start investigating that. So over the next few months, while I'm finishing school, while I'm working at the church, I'm also doing all this specialized training, flying all over the place, doing things. We're getting to know the Wenatchee area. Now, it's said sometimes that a church needs three miracles in order to start. Let me tell you about the three miracles that started Columbia Grove. Number one is in that next month, as we had a team of about 30 people praying and seeking God for his timing and direction, we came in contact with three families in the Wenatchee Valley. Yeah, none of whom had met each other. All of them were new to the area. Now, you see the couple on the right, Bob and Susan. On the left, you have Don and Gail. So right there, my brother. Right, another couple that the McCurdys that ended up going off to leaving to Spokane just a few, well, about 10, 12 years ago. But so we had these three families that expressed some interest, and we, like, I mean, literally just eight adults. We could fit in a minivan. Like, but just starting to dream about what would it be like to have a church that was intentionally intergenerational, that was rooted in the Bible, that was creative, and it was looking to reach its community. It's like, what would it be like for us to do something like that? That was miracle number one, is that first little group got formed really out of nowhere, out of nothing. The second one happened, second miracle happened shortly after that. Remember, so I'm going and doing all the specialized training. So one weekend I was in Detroit. And I met up with a guy named Pat Stark. He was a youth pastor that I'd known for a number of years. Well, he was getting ready to plant in Arizona. Another fun little side note. If you ever look up Genesis Church in Arizona, you'll discover that one of the primary benefactors that enabled this church to get planted, it's in, I think, the Tucson area, is, do you know the glam rocker Alice Cooper? Schools out for summer. That he was part of that founding story. He's come to Jesus. It's pretty cool. So anyway, so meeting with Pat, and he's saying, hey, I've got this friend in the Wenatchee area. He's a longtime Young Life guy. He's a teacher. He'd probably be interested in what you're doing. Why don't you get to know him? So I get his email address. I write him. He writes back. And the question that he asks is a really good one. So where does your church plan to meet? I said, well, I don't really know, but I remember that he was a teacher. And so I wrote back, there's a new junior high that's being built in East Wenatchee. You wouldn't happen to know who I should contact to see about maybe meeting in this junior high. I get an email back 10 minutes later. How could you possibly know that that's me? It was Greg Loomis. He was the assistant principal with Eastmont Junior High. And so because of this mutual friend, when we arrived in Wenatchee in the summer and fall of 2003, we were given the key to an $18 million building. That was miracle number two. We had this incredible place to start. Who's actually been a part of a worship service at the junior high? You remember that space? It was amazing. It was all God. Great stuff. The third miracle happened shortly after that point. Now, prior to being in Chicago, I'd served a church in Yakima for 8 years as a music and youth director, and so I knew a number of families there. And so one of the families, knowing that we were getting ready or thinking about moving to Wenatchee, said, hey, Andrew, I heard you're thinking about maybe planting a church in Wenatchee. Did you know we have a home there? I said, no, Doug. He said, would you like it? I said, thank you. And so for about a year, we had free use of a house in Sunny Slope. That not only was the initial place for our family to live, but it had this incredible, like, two RV-sized garage that was the perfect place for, like, first band practices, and also, really importantly, to build all the stuff that we needed to kind of do this portable church thing. Three miracles. And so after that little group of eight started a Bible study, and pretty soon there was 15, and pretty soon there was 20, and then there was 25, and then as we got to about 30 people, we launched. And so then on, I think it was February 15th of 2004, we began weekly worship services, and we starting with just those few people, things grew and grew and grew, and we saw God start to really move in people's lives and do some pretty remarkable things, including, I just brought this picture up because this is some of the pictures from our, on the left, from our first baptism service. Do you know who that guy in the white shirt is? That's Evan. He's playing the drums back there. On the right, in the pink with the leopard print, little hoodie. Do you know who that is? That's Dagon. Little by little, person by person, piece by piece, things grew. Lives are being changed. People are being touched. People are getting free from addiction. People are finding new hope. God is just on the move. Now, and so it was this dream that God had placed on my heart and placed on our core team, those team of eight, the brave eight, that were getting things started. So I want to tell you a little bit about that dream and how that's now getting expressed and how that's getting lived out. Now, we didn't initially put it exactly like this. I'm going to get to the phrase that we used right at first. But here's how we express it now. This has been our mission statement for the last 10 years. We help people become more like Jesus. That's discipleship. Remember, Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So helping people become more like Jesus through worship, connection, and service. When you look at a healthy church in the Bible, we see those themes of worship, connection, and service. If you would, turn in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. We're going to take a look. There's just one little brief point in history where it's like everything went right. Like the church was just thriving, and like for two chapters, not even any real great big struggles. It was amazing. But we see in this snapshot of kind of church at its best, we see these incredible themes. So starting with verse 42, so they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. That's worship, right? Listening to the Bible, meeting together for prayer, meeting together for the breaking of bread, for communion. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. That's connection, right? So they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who was in need. So they're helping one another out in service. So not only are they helping each other out, but the Christians got this reputation of if you're in need in this area, come to the church. They might be weird. You might not agree with everything they do, but they're sure going to help you. Come to these Christians. So people were generous. And so every day, starting verse 46, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, so they're in the temple courts, in worship, in public spaces. They're also in private spaces, in homes. And they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. The watching world could see this authentic, like, amazing thing going on between these believers, and they wanted a part of it. So, well, let me show you our org chart. It can be said that Columbia Grove is about three and a half things. So I want to show you the three big bubbles and one little one, and then just talk about that for a second. Okay, so we are about worship, connection, and service. We really only do three things. We do worship services, we do connection groups and events that lead people into connection groups. We do service teams and things that lead people to finding their gifts and talents and find themselves placed in a service team somewhere. And then we've got just enough structure to support it. That's the leadership piece. We'll talk about each. But let's talk about worship. So we are passionate about people connecting with Jesus. And you need to do that on an individual basis. I mean, I hope that we are building a culture here, and I hope you're hearing me, if you're listening on any regular basis, just challenging you to be in God's word for yourself. There's this big, old, amazing book, and God speaks through it. And so I urge you to get into God's word on a daily or near daily basis, whatever that looks like, however that looks like. And you might be saying, of course you're saying that because you're a pastor. Well, yeah, I am, so that's true. But here's the thing you need to know. I go off the rails so stinking fast when I don't have my head in God's word. Like, I need it. I am not that strong. I'm not that smart. I'm not that emotionally healthy. I go off track really fast when I forget those basic disciplines of what it means to walk with Jesus each day. Now, for me, I've told you this already, my sort of default devotional plan is one of those YouVersion through the Bible in a year things. So trying to go through God's word in its entirety once every year. And there are some days, if I can just be honest, where, you know, it's a little bit boring. There's portions of the Bible, shocker, that are a little bit boring or they're a little bit confusing. But I got to tell you, even on those days, being in God's word is incredibly important, because here's what it does. Here's what it trains me to do, because I'm doing this every single morning. And follow me on YouVersion if you don't believe me. Is that every single morning, where otherwise I would be tempted to think, okay, what's going on in my life? And what's going on in the lives of the people around me? What do I need to do today? Being in God's word reminds me that there's a bigger picture. That there is a God who is sovereign over history. And the best question I can be asking every day is, God, what are you doing today? And how can I be a part of what you're doing today? I need that every single day, because every other message I'm hearing from every other source is telling me something different. So I need to be in God's word on a daily basis. And I would dare to suggest to you, friends, you do too. You got to get in God's word. Let it speak to you. It is incredibly powerful. It is incredibly grounding. It is one of the best things you can do in your life, even the boring parts. And just as we read God's word individually, we read it corporately. So we love to preach out of God's word as we gather, and we love to challenge one another to be in God's word. So in a couple weeks, we're going to start a reading series, an all-church reading series called The First Five, looking at the first five books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Now, I should say this, if you are just getting started with Bible reading, maybe don't start there. Start in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, get to know Jesus, because when you get to know Jesus, everything else will make sense. So if you don't know Jesus yet, get to know him first. But if you've read the Gospels, if you're walking with the Lord, come with us on this journey as we get grounded in the book that grounded Jesus. The reason why we love the Bible is it was Jesus's book. And you see him quoting from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy all the time. So we love to be in God's word individually. We love to be in God's word together. Now, here's the way that we voiced our distinctive as a church. This is the first phrase from the first draft of the first mission statement. And I know, Don, you were there. Yeah, we're in Denver in that hotel room, and we're, you know, in one of those training events, and we're scratching it on a piece of paper. This is the first phrase. And here's something you need to understand about who we are, okay? We are serious about creative, Bible-centered ministry to every generation. So we love the Bible. We love the creative arts. We like to sing. We like to do drama. We like to do creative things. Have you seen the children's wing rooms, by the way? Just incredible. We have incredibly creative people. But here's the distinctive that you need to know for how we do worship together. We are an intentionally intergenerational church. We love it that, well, here's some of the phrases we've used over time. We long to see generational and cultural gaps bridged through worship. We want grandparents, parents, and grandchildren to enjoy each other's faith, music, and art. We teach the Bible with conviction, creativity, and compassion. And we develop worship artists. Now, I love this vision of an intergenerational church, and there's some challenges that come along with it. Because, see, here's the problem when you're trying to do something that is really coming from every generation. Like when we're planning worship services, we don't look at, so, hey, what are the top songs on CCLI, or what's playing on K-Love right now? The number one question we're trying to ask is, what songs has God been using to touch the hearts of our congregation? And so that means that we're drawing from a wide, wide variety of sources. Everything from the really old hymns to the gospel classics to the Southern gospel, the Gaither stuff, to some stuff that's really new and is really current. But, you know, if you're a marketing, you know, expert or something, you would say that's kind of dumb. Because if you really want to grow a church fast, what you got to do is you got to give the people what they want. So you figure out what demographic group you're trying to you know, reach, and then you give them what they want. Because see, some people are really into like Hillsong United, some great songs coming out of there. Like that's, yeah, it's just the best stuff. Some people are really into the Gaither stuff. Yeah, if it's got harmonies, it's good. If it doesn't have harmonies, it's not. Some of you are like Fanny Crosby. She's my jam. You know, this is like the gospel songs from 150 years ago, the Trust and Obeys, the How Great Thou Art. We have this very, very diverse group. And the problem with that is that if you're part of Columbia Grove, there's always going to be something that bugs you, because there's always going to be some part of it that's not exactly what you want it to be. And that is part of the goal for us. So if you're wanting a church where everybody is going to listen to the same kind of thing, or everybody's going to listen to your favorite music, we're probably not a very good place for you. But if you get teary-eyed when you see four generations of people worshiping together, when you see grandparents bringing their grandkids and you are singing the same songs, you are singing together, you're learning each other's stuff, we are exactly the place that you need to be. Anybody with me? Guys, don't get too sleepy out there, okay? We're not about trying to hit one spot on the radio dial. What we're trying to do is build a community. So that means for us that we're probably going to build slow, because we're looking to build deep, because we are looking to build those intergenerational connections. And we have seen time and time again how God is changing people's lives through those connections. I love the fact that there are people in their 20s that have some of their best friends in their 50s and in their 60s. I love the fact that we are a church filled with surrogate grandparents. Who are some of my surrogate grandparents? Where you have been investing in kids significantly younger than you that you're not even related to, because you met them at church and you know they need a grandpa. And so you showed up in their life. Thank you for that. That is who we are. That is what we're about. We are serious about creative Bible-centered ministry to every generation. That's who we are. That's what we're about. So worship, that is that first piece. But the second piece that we're passionate about is connection. We like to put it this way. We help people connect in ways that grow faith and friendships. Faith and friendships. So here's some of the phrases that we've used over the years. We are a place where people can ask honest questions and have honest conversations. We want every person to have a few Christian friends that they could call at 2 o'clock in the morning and not need to apologize for it. That's one of the things that happens when you get into some form of a connection group. You get to know some people. Now, not every group is going to immediately gel. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time. And I don't really care whether you're in one of our formal connection groups or not. But what I do care about is that you are intentionally forming Christian friendships. And you need to know that even as we are planning and developing connection groups, that faith and friendship go hand in hand. It's not all about learning. It's about learning and growing together. And it's not all about just hanging out and having fun. It's about building one another up in our faith. So we get into the Bible together, we pray together, we serve together, we do life together, we help one another out. And the larger we get as a church, the more important those groups become. That you have friends that you can call them when you need them. And I know, I've seen it time and time and time again of people being there for one another. One of the things I love that we did at Advent over the last little bit here is, you know, we often have families that come and they light a candle. Well, one of our groups was just a friendship group. These are some women that have been supporting each other through some really remarkable circumstances. And they met at church. And they're walking with each other and they're helping one another out, and they are becoming a form of family for each other. That's what we are talking about here. Intergenerational connection. We connect. Third thing we do is we serve. So here's one of the phrases we like to use with that. Because we believe people are at their best when they apply their God-given gifts and talents and service, we unapologetically invite people to serve. Yes, we need you to help out with stuff. But even more so, we want you to help out with stuff. Because we know that as you serve, you grow. Now, there's two great days in your life. One is the day when you're born, and the second is the day when you discover why you were born. Life is way too short to not know what your purpose is in life. And so we want to help you if you don't know these things yet. Figure out what your spiritual gift is. If you're a follower of Jesus, do you know that you have spiritual gifts, that God has supernaturally empowered you to be good at some stuff that can help other people out and can glorify God? If you don't know what those things are, we would love to help you with that. Talk to Megan. Talk to Paul. That's right at the center of what his job is all about. Or talk to me if you have to. But we would love to walk with you. We would love to help you out. We would love to help you find places where you can serve, because as you serve, you grow. We know it. We've seen it. And as you serve, you make a difference with your life. So here's some of the other phrases we like to use. With that, we believe God wants lost people found and hurting people helped. Amen? You with me? We help people discover their gifts and apply them to God's glory and neighbor's good. We're a place where people's talents are given a chance to flourish and grow. It's okay to fail. It's just not okay to not try anything. You don't need to be good at everything. Not every team is going to be your team. Not every spot is going to be your spot. But I promise you, God has things that he wants to use your life for. That he wants your life to make a difference. And that we care more about people than programs. We want you to grow. And we believe that as you grow, we grow. So we've got those three big ones. I want to talk about that. So we do three things. We do three and a half things. I want to talk about the half thing that we do. Here's the half thing. Is we do leader development. We look to help people grow in their gifts and talents. So that means things like training and developing leaders, like we do the monthly leader huddles. We have leadership classes. We have leadership connection groups. That's also like our policies, our systems, our structures. You know, we have like a finance committee that makes certain all the money is handled in responsible and accountable ways. We've got good policies so we don't step on each other's toes. We've got structure so the teams work together rather than working at odds with each other. We've got a leadership team and they're awesome. We've got committees that help the other groups in the church to be strong. So there's a leadership structure that upholds everything. So it's an organization, one tiny little piece of organization that upholds the organism of the church, the body of Christ. We've also have what we call membership. I just got to talk about that for a minute. Because, see, different churches organize in different ways. Sometimes membership at a church is a little bit like membership in Costco, which isn't a bad thing. I love Costco, but you don't actually have influence in what Costco does. It's just a way of kind of getting some discounts, which is a good thing. I hope you're a member there. It's cool. But membership in the church is a significant position of influence because every major decision in the church is voted on by our members. So let's list some of those things. Like on an annual basis, we look at our big picture budget. So our members approve that. Our members review that. When we do a major hire, like a pastor, somebody that's a pastor to the whole church, that's decided by the members. If you have to fire a pastor, the membership is involved in that process. When we bought this building, like another one of the miracles that I just don't have time to even talk about today, one of the miracles of about 4 years ago, it wasn't me that made that decision. It wasn't our leadership team that made the decision. It was the members of the church. People that have gone through a process and been able to stand in front of the congregation to say, I'm a follower of Jesus. And for at least this season of my life, this is my church home. And I'm going to help it follow Jesus together. So we do have a class for that. We have a process for that. But and maybe I even shouldn't tell you this. But see, the members are not only the decision makers in the really big decisions. Because, you know, there's lots of little decisions that are being made. And most of the time, we don't bring that to the whole membership. Usually, that's going to one of our ministry teams to decide those things. So, you know, like, here'd be an example. So let's say we're trying to hire an electrician to put in a new circuit in the kitchen because we're wanting to do an expansion in the kitchen. Well, so that team would be trying to make the decision between, do we hire the professional at $45 an hour, or do we hire Ed's cousin Sparky at $22 an hour? What do we do? Usually that decision is getting made on a ministry team basis, like on that level, because we want to empower those teams, and we don't want to just bog down the congregation with, you know, fiddly bits, little stuff. But here's the thing you need to know. Membership is also the major check and balance. Like, if you're a member of this church, you have formal authority. Like, if 20% of the members say, we've got a problem, we need to hold a meeting, it will happen. I mean, it's in writing. This is how it works. So if you feel like the staff is making a decision that's not right, or the leadership team is handling something in a way that they shouldn't, you have the ability to hit the brakes and call a timeout and call for a full review of it. That's how it works. I mean, members in our church have significant authority. Now, not every church does it that way, but that's how we do it. One isn't necessarily better than the other, but we do believe that the Spirit of God works through all of us. And as we seek God together, that God will lead us together. And so when we make decisions, big decisions especially, we look to make them together. So that's our thing. Worship, connection, service, and to a lesser degree, leadership development. The thing that makes all these other things work and happen. So as you're maybe looking at some of your own next steps, here's some options. So you want to get to know the church better? Well, we have a Columbia Grove 101 happening next week between services, 20-minute overview. You get to meet some of our staff members, figure out what they're doing, figure out, you know, how all the pieces fit together. That'll help. Or maybe you're thinking about a connection group, but you don't know anybody. We can help with that. So a week from Friday, on the 19th, we're doing a Hawaiian Chilean trivia night, okay? Now, in one sense, you go, well, so why is a church doing a trivia night? Well, here's why. It's because it's an on-ramp for a connection group. Because when you get to in an environment like this and you start hanging around with people, you realize we have this really eclectic, weird, wonderful church. They're actually really fun people. You might not believe it, but they're really fun. And when they get to know you, they're actually going to like you. Amazing. And so we encourage our connection group leaders to come to stuff like this and get to know people, because that's how people find their ways into groups. You just get to know one another. We do dumb stuff together, like, you know, wear Hawaiian shirts and play trivia contests. That's okay. But that might be your step. Maybe you're like, I just need to get to know some people. I think I want to take that step, but what if nobody likes me? Well, we can fix that. We can help them get to know you a little bit. Or maybe you're ready for the formal step of it. You want to, like, to really get to know what Columbia Grove's about. You want to go through that formal process. In about 2 weeks, Thursday night, the 25th, we have a membership class. It's only one class, but it is essential. It's required because we want you to know what you're getting yourself into, you know. So we want you to know the history of the denomination, core values, that kind of stuff. Okay. So worship, connection, service. That's what we're all about. And I'm here today to ask you this question. So within worship, connection, and service for you, what's your next step? Is it to get into that individual pattern of being in God's word and prayer, Bible and prayer on a daily basis? Maybe it's to start a reading plan. Maybe it's to make participating in corporate worship a priority. Maybe that's your 2018 goal. That'd be awesome. Or maybe it's to start forming, intentionally building those Christian friendships, those areas of connection. Getting to know people. Investing in someone and allowing somebody to invest in you. I promise you are not too busy for those kind of friendships. Or maybe it's figuring out where God has called you to serve. Discovering your gifts and your talents and making a difference somewhere. I should say something about service too that I failed to mention earlier. I mean, when we talk about service, this isn't just about like, hey, you got to fill all our volunteer teams in the church. Now, for some people, that's where God's called you to serve, you know, help make our church stronger and build people up to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, you know, like it says in Ephesians. But for some, your primary area of service is out there. In all these different ways, in all these different needs. And the church is meant to be this launch pad for all that stuff. That you get filled with God's word, that you get encouraged by God's people, and then you go. So I look forward to, I mean, I hear these stories all the time, and I look forward to hearing even more of them, of people that are serving in the schools because they know that God has called them to volunteer to read to kids once a week, or help out with some of the wonderful nonprofits in our valley that help the homeless, that feed children. And for some, that's going to mean also areas of service, maybe not only in our valley, but around the world. I mean, we're excited that this year we're going to be sending out 2 short-term missions teams. That's awesome. And for some, God might be calling you into long-term missionary service. And we would love to be that launch pad for you as well. Worship, connection, and service. As the worship team comes up, one of the things I was kind of wrestling with, even with this message, is like how to land it. Because you know, I've been in those settings where, you know, the preacher, they get all fired up, and I like getting all fired up, but they start talking about this one particular goal for the next year. Like, in the next year, next 2 years, 3 years, you know, we're gonna reach 200 people for Jesus, or, you know, we're going to plant a church here, we're going to do this one big specific thing. And there's times I'm really tempted to jump on that. But I also remember this. Like 14 years ago when we were meeting in Bob and Susan's living room and there were just 8 of us, we could have never imagined that 14 years later we will have literally seen hundreds of people give their hearts to Jesus. We could have never imagined that. We could have never imagined that, you know, 14 years later we will have seen well over 100 people get baptized as a confession of faith. Could have never imagined that. Could have never imagined that we would be sponsoring a school in Nicaragua because we send off a missionary family to make a difference there. We could have never imagined that, or that we have launched a nonprofit that literally feeds thousands of kids in the valley every summer. We could have never imagined that. Because here's the thing, is that we don't want to just set our sights on one particular goal. But we want to anchor our hearts in a right process. That as we seek God individually, we seek God corporately every day. As we connect with one another, as we build friendships, intergenerational friendships. As we seek God for his call in our life and want to use our gifts and talents to serve him, that God will do immeasurably more than all that we could ask or imagine. That God's plan for us is so much bigger than anything that we could dream up. Do you hear me? You with me? Now, I am excited about the next 10 years, and I think, you know, it's on my heart that one day we're going to plant a church. I believe that. I just don't know how. I just don't know when. I just know it's in God's time. I believe that we're going to engage in some of the really significant challenges of our valley. I can't shake the idea that one of the greatest problems we deal with in our valley is affordable housing. I don't know how we're going to address that. I have no idea. But if we're called to do it, God will figure it out. But we need to walk with him on a daily basis. We need to connect with one another. We need to keep encouraging people to use their gifts and talents and then trust the Spirit. Jesus said, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So I'm calling you, church, to connect to one another. I'm calling you, church, to connect with Christ through God's word. I'm calling you, church, to a life of sacrificial service because God can use you. God can use us. And you are so quiet. I can hardly imagine this. I would be on my feet clapping and cheering because God wants to do incredible things through you. We have seen it. We have seen lives touched by the gospel. We have seen people changed by the power of God. And I want to invest my life in something that lasts and matters because it is short. It is short. So don't waste it. Give it to Jesus. So for some today, you might be just taking your first steps of faith. And I hope that you will give your heart to the Lord. It is as simple as just asking him to be your Savior and the leader and Lord of your life. And for those of you who have been walking with Jesus for many years, I got to ask you, what's your next step? Because he is calling us to love like Jesus. This world needs it. This world needs it. And he wants to use you and me and us to make a difference with that. So we're going to stand, we're going to worship, we're going to sing what for us is one of our old, old songs. This is one of the first songs we wrote. We've been singing this one a long time. Karen Dagan, would you lead us?